tonight into Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. And I'm going to bring you up to date on what's happening before we get into Joshua chapter number 7. Israel has come into the promised land that God told them he would bring them into. Their first challenge when they got into the promised land was the city of Jericho, a city that was deemed impenetrable. They say its walls were so thick that chariots could run around the top of the wall a couple wide. That's how thick the walls were of Jericho. It was thought to be a city of its day that no one could conquer and no one could take. And God told his people, he said, we got a plan. You know, when we follow God's plan, everything always works out. Amen. And his plan was for God's people to march around the city of Jericho for 7 days to make a pass around Jericho and not make a noise. And they did that for 7 days. They marched around the city of Jericho. On the seventh day, they marched around seven times. And on the seventh time, they blew the trumpets and the walls of the city fell down. Unexplained. Today, archaeologists can't figure out how the city fell the way that it did. It's because it was the hand of God that done it. Amen. And God tore down the wall of the city, and he told his people, he said, I want you to go in. He said, I want you to destroy everything. Destroy absolutely everything. The only thing that was to be reserved was the gold, the silver, and the brass to be put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And that's very important. See, God has specific plans and specific ways for things to be done in our lives. When we don't follow God's plans, things don't work out so well. Things don't happen the way that we are wanting them to and we're hoping to. You know, a lot of people are hoping that they make it to heaven, but they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never followed God's plan for redemption and invited Jesus into their heart. A lot of Christians are hoping that they're going to find rewards in heaven. They're going to get the crowns that will be offered on that day, but they're not doing the things that are required to win those crowns. The Bible says if the righteous scarcely make it, what about the ungodly and unbelieving? You know, we don't realize how tenuous and how thin of a margin it is that we live in sometimes because we don't do things according to God's word. We don't keep God's plan in our lives. And in Joshua chapter number 7, I'm only going to read one verse, but we're going to look at the whole chapter this morning. Verse number 1. Well, let's go back to chapter 6 and verse 27. It says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Chapter 7 and verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Let's pray. Yes, and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now we're getting ready to go into revival. Tomorrow night we start revival. Tomorrow night it would be good to look out over this assembly and see everyone that is sitting here today, sitting here tomorrow night. You say, but Pastor, I've got this and Pastor, I've got that. I know all about the I gots. Amen. But where does the Lord sit in your heart and in your life? I'm just going to, you say, well, you're trying to put the guilt trip on us. No, I'm just putting reality on you. Amen. I worked a full-time job. pastored this church. I knew what it was like to be here. Amen. We all want God's blessings. We all want to be blessed. It would be so good to look out and see this great number. It would be so good to see God's people get blessed. And just that's what revival is all about. Amen. Getting back to the place of blessing. You see, we butted in to God's plans for our lives. Amen. Uh-oh. I done made you all mad this morning. Told you I want you to come to church tomorrow night. Amen. And Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night. Amen. They done got quiet and got mad. They done shut off, man. It took all 5 minutes. There you go. Amen. Call me the bush hog. I just mow it down. Amen. All those plans you had for this week, I done. Now you're going to go do them. If you don't show up, you're going to go do them. You're going to do it. You're going to be guilty. You're going to feel the preachers praying about you and the preachers wishing bad things. Hey, I don't wish bad for anybody. I want you to see good things, but don't butt in to God's blessings for your life. Amen. God has a blessing for you, and God wants you to know the blessing. I want you to get this frame of mind here this morning. You see, the Bible says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. At the end of the text verse, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Why was Israel in trouble? Why was Israel accused of a trespass, and why was God's anger kindled against Israel? It's because of one person. One man by the name of Achan who disobeyed God. So here's my thought this morning, and here's what God had laid on my heart. I wanted to get us ready for revival. I hate it when you go to revival and the preacher's got to get the church worked into revival and get the church focused. The church should come into revival already focused so that you can get filled and go from the church and go into the world and tell everybody about Jesus. You have a new spirit about you, a new fire that's been lit under you to revive what has died and what has maybe kindled down a little bit. But we need to get some things out of the way. The whole nation of Israel was in trouble and was facing problems and was being kept from the blessings of God because they had a heart problem. But it was one individual that had the problem. And the question this morning is, are you the one that's going to keep God from doing what God wants to do at Charlestown Baptist Church? Amen. Amen. I'm not preaching to Nottingham, and I'm not preaching to Porter's Grove, and I'm not preaching up at Mercy or Fellowship this morning. I'm preaching at Charlestown. Amen. Amen. Are you the one that will keep God from doing what he wants to do in Charlestown Baptist Church? You see, we go about our lives and we go about our worship and we want to worship and we try to worship and we get in the frame of mind of doing the things that worship, but we do so with an aching heart. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, the dangers of an aching heart. You know, a few years ago, Billy Ray Cyrus wrote that song, Achy Breaky Heart. Amen. We're not talking about that kind of aching heart. We're talking about the kind of aching heart where we rebel against the will and the word and the way of God. Amen. In chapter 6, verse number 24, the Bible says, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But the children of Israel sinned. The children of Israel committed a trespass. The children of Israel were found in disobedience because there was an aching heart in the midst of them. I don't know about you this morning. I'm your pastor. And if I have an aching heart, I can keep God's blessings away from God's people. And if the pastor can do that with an aching heart, don't you think it's possible for it happen to be able to happen in the pew as well? The dangers of an aching heart. Number one, look at verses 2-5. The Bible says, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua, and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the heart of the people melted and became as water. The great danger of an aching heart is that it brings great defeat in your life. Amen. We see here they had a great physical defeat. They had a great defeat from somebody that they thought was so minuscule, a city that they thought was so small, a city that they thought wouldn't matter. But that little city brought a great defeat upon their lives, and they ran from the men of Ai, and 36 more men were killed. 36 people. You know how many were killed in the conquest of Jericho, that great and formidable city? Zero. How many died in trying to overtake this little city of Ai? 36 men. Why? Because there was a problem. They had an aching heart. Amen. It wasn't a big city that caused a problem. It wasn't a big city that brought defeat. It wasn't a big issue that they were facing. Man, there wasn't no giants there at that time. There wasn't no great walls there at that time. It was just a simple little thing that caused defeat in their lives because of an aching heart. Amen. You know, you can harbor some sin, and sometimes we think, well, this ain't no big deal. Let me tell you what, any sin is a big deal to God. God don't quantify sins as big and little. Amen? He don't say, well, this is a number one class sin, and this is a number two class sin, and this is a number three class sin. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. It doesn't matter how big or how little. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is that you do. When you face even the smallest things and you try to deal with the smallest situations and you don't do it the way that God says, it will bring defeat in your life. Amen. People are trying to get over all kinds of things. Can I share something that we shared this morning, Tammy? Tammy's trying to do something. Pray for Tammy. She's trying to quit smoking. You know, that's hard. It's very hard. Amen. I told her, I said, my wife struggled with that. But she found out the Lord could do what no one else could do. You know, we can struggle with little things. It seems like, it's not a big deal. It's not like she's trying to get off heroin. It's not like she's trying to kick a crack habit. It's not like she's trying to do all these big monumental things. It don't matter. Even a little thing can become a big thing. Amen. When we don't do it according to God's plan. I told her, I said, I'll tell you what you do, Tammy. I said, every time that urge hits you, and man, I know what it was like to quit. It's easy to quit smoking. I did it 100 times. Amen. Amen. The secret was to stay quit. Yeah, amen. Amen. I quit once when I was in the Navy cold turkey. And went for about a year or two. But man, you're out there on that ship and you're just bobbing around out in the, you know, all you do at night is sit around, play cards, smoke cigarettes, and tell lies. You know? Yeah? And you're just sitting there and everybody else is, you know, You're playing cards, smoking cigarettes, and you know, you're sitting there with them, you're breathing it all. Anyway, I just started smoking again. But then it started weighing on me. I started having problems. And I realized I had to quit again. And I did it again. And it wasn't easy. It's hard. But you know what got me through it? God got me through it.
Yeah.
You know what got her through it? God got her through it. You know what's going to get Tammy through it? God to get her through it. Amen. But even a little thing like that. Amen. Even a little thing like that can become a monumental thing in your life when you don't let God be the one to get you through it. When we don't want to follow God's plan. You know, they faced a great defeat simply because they had an aching heart. Achan had taken something in his life and he was affecting the whole nation of Israel. The whole group of people. This wasn't just one person's personal problem. Your personal problem, when it's sin that's hidden in your life, affects everybody. The nation of Israel at this time, when they went out of Egypt, was estimated between 2 and 5 million people. Picture now, get this. You don't believe it? Go back and count how many men came out of Israel. And just think, if only 2/3 of those men had families, it would probably be more likely to probably 7/8 of those that were accounted as men actually had families. That means they had wives and children. You know, they didn't have the typical American family, one boy and one girl, and then we're going to, you know, get the perfect family, and we're going to quit and go on. They had several children. If you just do the math, there was almost 1 million men that came out. If you only multiply that by 3, a wife and one kid per person, you got 3 million people. It's figured most likely closer to 5 million people. And this whole nation was affected. This whole nation would face defeat because of an aching heart. What's an aching heart? We're going to see here in a few minutes. I'll show you. See, an aching heart will bring defeat in your life. It will bring defeat in your life personally. It will bring defeat in your life collectively. Everybody around Achan was affected because of Achan's sin, because of what Achan had done. And what you think, well, it's my life. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. Your life affects everybody. No man lives, the Bible says in Revelation, or Romans, no man lives or dies unto himself. The poet said, no man is an island unto himself. Our lives are interconnected. And in Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, every one of us has an effect on everyone else around us. Amen. You know, it's just like some disease. And I went back and I generally hug Miss Joanne Fitz, and she says, yeah, you probably want to stay back a little this morning. Amen. She don't want me to get sick. She didn't want me to catch them. So I think it's just sinuses, but I have no need to take a chance. Amen. See, everything we do affects somebody else. And if you come in here sick, amen. If you come in here with the flu, man, you stand a chance of getting everybody else sick. You know, your actions will affect everybody else here. If you got sin in your life and you think it don't affect nobody but you, I think the Bible shows you right here, right plain. Amen? That when you got that aching heart, what's going on in your life is going to affect my life. What's going on in your life, what's going to devastate you, can devastate me. So we see the dangers of an aching heart are a great defeat, but it also causes a great distress, a great trouble. Look in verses 6 to 9. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round about and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Now we see there's been a defeat, a great defeat, a great trial. Now there's a great trouble, a great distress that's been caused. You know, everybody's trying to figure out what's going on here. Here, we just had a great victory. Here, God was with us. Here, God had let us see blessings. Man, it's good to see souls saved. Amen. It's good to see hearts stirred. It's good to hear God's people saying amen in the house of God. But I tell you what, when the souls stop getting saved, when hearts stop getting stirred, when the amens cease and they dry up, and you leave the service feeling just like you went in, you didn't get nothing out of it, and you feel like you're barren, you need to be distressed. You need to be worried about that. I, as a pastor, get worried when I go some time and we don't see a soul get saved. Amen. I get discouraged. I get disturbed and disheartened. I get troubled. When you look back and you, I mean, what do you see when you stand up there sometimes, Brother Steve? Am I right? You don't think it's true, you need to stand up there sometimes and look at you. It's a scary thing to have to get up there and preach to. Look like they're ready to eat you, throw you to the lions, throw you in the fiery furnace. I don't know. But it's distressing when you see God's people without a radiance and a happiness about them. You know, I preached some hard messages and heard people say, amen, amen, amen. Preaching right to the church. But it ought to distress us when we cease to feel the presence of God in our midst. It ought to distress us when we cease seeing souls getting saved, and we ought to look within ourselves. I don't need to start looking at Adam. Well, you know, if Adam would do this, and if Adam would do that, and if Adam would straighten his life out, hey, you know, maybe we'd see some souls. Man, if these deacons would just get their life in order around here, things would straighten out, and maybe some of these Sunday school teachers, maybe they're the problem. Well, maybe we need to quit looking at everybody else and look at ourselves and say, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm the one that has the aching heart. Maybe I'm the one that's keeping God from blessing the way that he wants to. It ought to distress us. It ought to drive us to our knees. When Joshua and the elders of Israel seen the defeat that had taken place in such a small thing, such a sure victory, something that should have been as certain could be, and they seen defeat, it drove them to their knees. And you know what? That's the problem with us so many times, is we don't let the things that bring defeat in our life bring us to our knees to seek God's face and to find out what's happening. Amen. Joshua wasn't. Then they're accusing, well, you know, if the leader of this family and the head of that family got everything straightened out, everything would have been all right. Joshua was asking God to show him. Joshua is pleading with God to let him understand, to let him know. He don't understand. He don't know why. Many. He couldn't explain how God brought the walls of Jericho down. All he knew was that they'd done what God told him to do. They'd done it just like God said to do it. And the walls came tumbling down. Amen. And they had a great victory. Now he can't explain why they suffered defeat. He just don't understand it. God told Joshua, he said, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And God made Moses a god. Ain't that what the Bible says? You go back and study it. God made Moses a god before Pharaoh. I mean, when they looked at Moses, they said, wow. When they looked at Joshua, they said, wow. The last part of chapter 6 said God was with Joshua. And it was noised throughout the area, throughout the country, round about. Everybody heard about this great general, this great man, Joshua. They didn't know it was his God that was doing everything. And maybe Joshua was wondering if it's me. But he don't understand why. He don't understand what. He don't understand how. All he knows is that they suffered defeat and that the name of God is standing in a place of being reproached. And he asked God why. Maybe we need to get on the altar. And he said, God, show me what I need to see. Lord, I want to see my church blessed. I want to see my family blessed. I want to see my community blessed. I want to see my nation blessed. But Lord, is it me that's keeping the blessing? Is it me that has the aching heart? Amen? That's keeping your will from being accomplished in our lives and in our church. I don't know about you. I'd like to see our church start off revival meeting tomorrow night with every heart and every life just completely surrendered and submitted to God to where when the man of God comes, he can just preach freely and preach liberally and preach a blessing down upon each and every heart and each and every life. But we need to find out today. We need to find out before that time comes. Is there an aching heart in me that needs to be dealt with? Is there something, no matter how big or how small, God, whatever it is, show it to me that I won't be the hindrance. I won't be the reason that your name isn't exalted and glorified in every way possible. Show me, Lord. Tell me. Distress my heart until I find the reason. An aching heart will prove a great truth. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24 says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't serve God and serve yourself. You can't serve God and serve your family. You can't serve God and serve the employer when he wants you to do things that aren't right. You can't serve God and serve everything else. See, when you serve God, he comes first. Amen. Amen. He's a jealous God. He says you can't serve God and mammon. He said you'll love one and hate the other. He says you'll hold to one and despise the other. Amen. You know, if you're trying to hold on to the world and you're trying to hold on to God, I guarantee you it's not going to work. The world's going to have a greater hold. The world will have a greater pull. You got to sever that tie. You got to commit yourself unto God. We're in the world, but not of the world. Amen. And we need to live our lives as such. And God's word proves that truth time and time and time again. You can't have an aching heart and be in the center of God's will. Amen. Look at what God says, verses 10 to 15. Amen. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned them. And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Wherefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the family thereof, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by the household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. You can't rot. You can't have folly. You can't have sin in your life. You can't disobey God. You can't rebel against Him. You can't do your own thing. You can't live your own way. You can't please your own self and please God too. Amen. The Bible tells us all kinds of things that are specific and that are real and that are honest and that are earnest and that are sincere that we need to take and we need to hold. People say, well, we don't live under the law anymore. I know we don't live under the law, but we live under the Word. Amen. And the Word tells us that the law teaches us what sin is. The law will bring us to an understanding of our depravity and the place where we are. We live in an age where everybody wants to do their own thing. They want to claim to be gods and they want to hold to the world. They want to claim to be gods and they want to do the things that everybody else is doing. You can't be God's and be the world's too. There's just no way that it's going to happen. God said it can't happen. God said it won't happen. You'll love one. You'll hate the other. You'll hold the one, despise the other one. It can't happen, friends. It can't happen. Sin has a detrimental effect in the life of a Christian. He says we need to be separate. He says we are peculiar. He says we're different. We don't do everything that everybody else does. We don't look like everybody else does. We don't act like everybody else does. Why? Because we're not theirs, we're His. Amen. And if we're His, we need to surrender and submit ourselves unto Him and quit committing folly. Quit bringing folly into the church house. Quit bringing folly into our families. Quit bringing folly into everything that we do. I tell you what, I've worked with a lot of people that claim to be Christians, but you'd never know it. Amen. You'd never know it. I'm sad to say there's times when people that was around me probably didn't know I was a Christian. Amen. I've wrought folly. And if you're honest enough with yourself, you can say there's probably times in your life as well. Amen. But we don't have to stay that way. Aren't you thankful for grace? Aren't you thankful for mercy? Aren't you thankful for His long suffering? He says, somebody has wrought folly in Israel. A great truth. Verse 11, Israel sinned. Verse 12, Israel was accursed. Verse 13, Israel cannot stand before the enemies. In verse 15, Israel faces defeat because of an aching heart. Because of the heart of one man that's not right with God. The greatest danger is the great tragedy that results. 36 men have already lost their lives in a great defeat, a great trial that come their way. Verses 16 to 26, look at what the Bible says. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah. And they took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man. And Zabdi was taken. And he brought his house. And brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God of Israel and make confession. You know, the best thing you can do when you have sin in your life, the best thing you can do when God reveals the sin in your life, the best thing you can do when you know that your sin isn't hid from God in your life is to give glory to Him and make confession. Amen. And make confession. Find out where I'm at here. Unto him and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver was under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garments and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, whereof the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. That word Achan comes from a root word that means trouble. The Valley of Achor means a place of trouble. You know what sin will do in your life? It will bring trouble. You know what sin will do in your life? It will take you farther than you want to go. It will cost you more than you're willing to pay. It will keep you longer than you're willing to stay. It will exact more of you than you ever thought was possible. And it will destroy you. It will destroy your testimony. It will destroy your peace. It will destroy your joy. It will destroy your confidence in the Lord. It will destroy everything that God has given you spiritually. If you don't confess it and you don't get it out of your life, it will take away the rewards that God has to offer his children. It will take away every blessing that God has for you. It will cause those around you to face trouble. You know what it's like when something's going on in somebody's life and you see their whole family is affected. You take drug addiction in a family. You see how it destroys families, how it hurts families, how it hurts the whole family, not just the addict. More than one person is hurt. You see how suicide doesn't end the problem. It doesn't cause the problem to cease. It just passes the problem on to others around you. Why is that? Because it never solves the problem. It never takes care of the issue. Achan had sinned. It caused all of Israel to face defeat. But it destroyed his entire family. Achan schemed a tragedy to bring home some treasure. It cost his life, his kids' eyes, and increase his measure. It cost his life, his kids' wife, when all had seemed fine. Achan left heartache behind. Are you the Achan that's been breaking God's heart? Does your life show? Do you really know the grace he imparts? Well, you can want right, but walk wrong. And friend, when you do, you're the Achan that's been breaking God's heart. You've tasted all, you've had a ball, still you feel like aching. And you're at the end with all your hidden sin and choices you're making. But God's design brings peace of mind. And friend, there is time to leave your heartaches behind. Are you the aching that's been breaking God's heart? Does your life show? Do you really know the grace he imparts? Well, you can want right, but walk wrong. And friend, when you do, you're the aching that's breaking God's heart. They took his wife. They took his children. They took his oxen. They took his asses. They took everything that he had. They took his tent. They took the garments that he stole. They took the wedge of silver that was so important to him. And they stoned him. And they killed them. And they burn it all. The dangers of an aching heart is it will bring tragedy somewhere. Not just in your life, but in the life of those around you. It can cause a tragedy in your church. It can cause a tragedy in your family. It can cause a tragedy in your community. It can keep the church from experiencing revival. It can keep the church from seeing souls saved. It can keep the church from reaping the blessings of God that he wants to bless them with. Brother Jim and Sister Mary getting a song of invitation.